Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Law in Action with me, Nafimane Halwendo. This is our weekly program where we get to discuss various burning legal issues affecting the community and affecting the country at large. Now, last week, we were discussing the issue of abortion, and it was quite a heated issue. Ordinarily, issues that affect human rights, issues that have a question of morality or ethics attached to it, are generally always contentious. So I've decided to revisit the issue again. I am aware that some callers had not gotten an opportunity to express their views, and also equally some members of the community were quite late and they insisted that we revisit the discussion of abortion again. Now, just to give a recap of what exactly it is we are talking about when we speak abortion. What is abortion? Abortion basically speaks to the willful termination of a pregnancy by either inducing a medical substance or doing one or other irregular or unnatural thing to the human body, the female body, that has the effect of terminating the pregnancy and excreting the fetus from the body before birth. So ordinarily what you are talking about is a lady taking certain medical prescription or a lady inserting anything in her body, be it physical or otherwise, that then have the effect of terminating the pregnancy. Now, we've discussed last time historically that abortion is a long-standing debate. There are basically two schools of thought. The first school of thought is one that pronounces itself as pro-choice, meaning they support abortion. And they support abortion basically along three lines. That is for the promotion of women's reproductive health. That's the first. The second is for the promotion of human dignity insofar as women's rights are concerned. That is the second. And the third then relates to women's right to privacy and bodily autonomy, which is basically the right to do with your body as you wish. Now, the other school of thought that opposes abortion, they call themselves, traditionally, pro-life. They believe in protecting the sanctity of life. They believe that a fetus is a human being. They believe that life begins at conception and that it's in the interest of society for abortion to be prohibited because of those important values and principles, namely the sanctity of life. And they further also believe that from a moral standpoint, abortion is wrong. Now, bearing that in mind, we have discussed last time that abortion is legal in various countries for various reasons. In Namibia, it's illegal by virtue of a law that was proclaimed in 1975. It's quite an old law. I think one issue that we failed to discuss last time, and I think it's quite important, is the fact that abortion is illegal in Namibia only if a woman chooses to terminate without there being an incident of rape, if there is no medical reasons behind her termination, meaning she must indicate or she must show that her life will be in danger if she continues with the pregnancy, that the pregnancy has the effect of causing one or other mental or physical disabilities to her body. And when we speak about abortion being illegal, the abortion that is illegal is the right to terminate without there being any medical reasons involved and where a woman is not raped. Now, this is interesting because if you look at rape, when a woman is raped, and the Abortion Act allows abortion in instances where a woman is raped, there has been questions. When you say that a woman should be allowed to abort after she's raped, what you're essentially saying is that a woman is only entitled to have control of over her body if her body has been violated by someone else. So, for instance, where the pro-lifers say there's sanctity of life, you are then saying that the sanctity of life, a woman can override the moral values that prohibit abortion. A woman can be allowed to abort against the values and principles of the sanctity of life, provided that her body must first be violated. And this is an interesting, it's very philosophical if you look at it, because the reason for refusing women the power to exercise autonomy over their bodies is essentially based on moral grounds. But it would appear that that morality disappears once a woman has been violated. So you're essentially saying that bodily autonomy rights are only conferred to women once their bodies have been violated. And it's also along those lines that the school of thought, the pro-choice school of thought, then says it's irrational for you to refuse a woman the right to exercise an abortion where you then have a law that confers that right to her, provided that she has been violated. And I think it's important for today's discussion to understand the foundational benchmark. If you are saying you are against abortion, if Parliament is saying they are against abortion, the foundational benchmark of why that is so must be clear. Because in Namibia, abortion is permissible in certain instances. So if you are then speaking against the sanctity of life, you must then explain what exactly is it about rape that takes away that sanctity of life. Why should abortion, in fact, it is legal if you are raped. Why should that be the case? What is it about a woman being raped that takes away the importance of living for a fetus, for instance? And I want to draw a contrast to an important fact, which is that killing in general is not an illegality. We all know, I think members of the community all know, that killing is permissible in certain instances. It's permissible, for instance, if people are at war. It's permissible if you are acting in private defense, meaning that you are protecting your property. Let's assume that you have a bag, you are a street vendor, and you have a bag that has all your belongings, and someone grabs the bag. We all know that if you stab that person and they die, you are not going to go to prison, because it's an act of permissible killing, so to speak. Now, we relate it back to abortion. The pro-choice school of thought states that, or at least they believe philosophically, that human rights exist only once a person is born. So essentially, under that school of thought, they believe that abortion is not killing, because in terms of their philosophy, life begins at birth. I'm just being notified that we have 8 seconds and we're going on a commercial break. So we'll be back shortly.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kukuruga na yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro yeyo wamba zuma okoko, ndi mwagwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero 0833-385-2825. Ndi dingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Yes, we are back. This is Law in Action with Nafimani Halwendo. We are discussing the issue or the question of abortion, and I was then explaining that in terms of the pro-choice philosophy, they believe that life commences only at birth, and therefore abortion does not constitute killing. But I was reading up on various other theories on the issue, and it came to mind that even accepting, let's assume, for instance, that life begins at conception and not at birth, it still brings an interesting question to mind. Why should it not be permissible to abort, where in society we understand and we have accepted as societies that there are instances where killing is permissible? So even if that legal question, of course, it's up to the courts to decide, but even assuming that the courts decide that legal question in the affirmative to say life begins at conception, why should it not be a permissible act to terminate such life, provided that the woman has made a conscious choice, a sober choice? The same way a woman is entitled to terminate that life if she has been raped. Now, of course, we have to remember that abortion, which is legal after once you have been raped, is not compulsory, meaning women are not forced to abort a child once they are raped. They have an election in terms of our Sterilization Act of 1975. They have an election to choose. After I'm raped and a baby is conceived or a fetus is conceived, a woman has an election as to whether or not she's going to abort that fetus or not. Now, if she elects to abort that fetus, on any school of thought, that is permissible. But why should it not be permissible if no one has raped her? She had consensual sex, but for one or other reason, be it now a condom bursting or contraceptive not working, why should she not be allowed to abort in those circumstances? So the question I'm really asking is, what is it, what moral values do we have that requires women to bear pregnancy, to go through a birth that they do not want? What are we protecting? What rights, what interests are we protecting as a society where we can give them that choice to make once they have been violated? And so I would like to hear your views and thoughts. I will be taking calls in the next 5 minutes to really reflect on the legal principles that we've discussed last week and those that I have just laid out shortly right now. And one thing that I think we need to bear in mind is the historical background. I think we have a caller on the line. Yes, Law in Action caller, you're live.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
I just want to contribute on the topic that you are discussing today.
Yes, where are we speaking to?
You're speaking to Elizabeth.
Yes, Miss Elizabeth.
I just want to put into context some of the issues that we have raised in your discussion.
Yes.
Issues like, first of all, when you say that life begins, there's a school of thought that believes that life starts at birth.
Yes.
But then if we say that life starts at birth, why do we have cases whereby somebody is pregnant, maybe even up to 7-8 months old? 8 months, the pregnancy is like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
But then the baby dies inside.
Yes.
The woman.
Yes.
What causes the death if there's no life? If life starts at birth only. Yes. But then you are told by the doctor the baby is not breathing anymore, the movements are no more there, therefore we have to induce labor for this baby, for this dead baby. They call it a stillborn.
Yes.
For this stillborn to come out of your body.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the reason why I personally believe that life starts at conception.
Okay. There's an interesting issue on that. Let's assume you are correct. And of course, mm-hmm. a court could agree with you that life starts at conception.
Mm-hmm.
Why should a woman not be allowed to terminate that life? What is the core value that we think or believe overrides the rights of a woman to terminate?
It's the value of killing.
Yes.
Because if you believe, if I believe, I'm not saying I'm right.
Yes.
I'm just telling you about my opinion and my beliefs.
No, yes, no, please feel free.
Yes. It's the issue of killing.
Yes.
Because we know I mean, based on the Bible, some people, I know not everybody is a Christian, but for those of us that are Christian, we believe that killing is a sin.
Yes.
Okay? So therefore, if we believe that life starts at conception, we believe that by terminating the pregnancy, you are killing.
Yes.
And the reason why, okay, I want to go to the second point, and the reason why the law has allowed women who are raped to go through, can choose whether they want to keep the pregnancy or to terminate.
Yes.
It's just because this person, the woman now,
yes,
if you force her sort of to keep the pregnancy,
yes,
if she wants to terminate the pregnancy, and then the law, let's assume the law is saying you don't terminate whether you are raped or not, whether you are raped or whatsoever. Abortion is just illegal in all circumstances.
Yes.
This person will be left with this child that will always remind her of that incident.
Okay.
And it will affect her mental health, and she may not live a normal life anymore. Therefore, I think it was against that background that whoever made the law thought that, let us, you know, put up exceptions, because we know that there are things that happen. Because when you are raped, it's not normal.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
But when you had consensual sex, I mean, it's normal. You understand? You have chosen to go into, to have a sexual intercourse. But when you are raped, that right of you deciding whether you are going to engage into sexual intercourse is not there. You are not given a choice. Therefore, I personally believe that we as women should take care of ourselves before conception, not after conception. We should be in control of our bodies before conception. And if then it happens, even by mistake, I know mistakes can happen,
yes,
then we need to bear the consequences of that. Because what we did, we were not forced, nobody forced us to do that. Because one can decide to abstain, you understand?
Yes.
And then if you abstain, you will never be pregnant. You understand?
Yes.
But once we make it and say, okay, now abortion is illegal, everybody has the right to do what they want with their body and all that, it will eliminate our moral as a country. And our children will not see any value, you understand, of taking care of their bodies, because they know that even if I get pregnant today, I'll go to the clinic and terminate. And mind you, lastly, you know, before, I don't want to waste your time. Lastly,
no, you're
the
not.
Emotion.
We want to hear the views of the nation.
Okay. Lastly, what I want to conclude is that also the effect, the psychological effect that comes after an abortion,
yes,
is immense. It's immense. Therefore, one should really consider, because when you are doing it, you don't know what the repercussions are going to be. You just do it because I don't want this pregnancy. I'm young. I'm 18. Let me just terminate the pregnancy. But then you may leave. Your life will never be the same again, because you will have that guilt that I have killed. Because at the moment, at the beginning, when you are doing it, maybe you have not thought of that. But after, you know, after this, that's when you feel the guilt. When you see other people having kids, you are always saying, my child would have been 5 years old now. My child would have been 10 years old now. And those are the things that we don't foresee before deciding to do an abortion.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Miss Elizabeth. So those are the views of Miss Elizabeth. I want us really to apply our minds on the many complexities that are in society. And the reason for that is because we have many laws in this country that, of course, some people agree with and some people do not agree with. But what is important is to look at the foundation of each law, whether it's a law allowing something or a law that is prohibiting something. Now, bearing that in mind, I think it's important to understand various things with relations to abortion. And that is that we need to understand that this is, of course, a secular state and that not everyone is religious. So the views cannot be controlled by one or other religion. They need to be views that are rational even outside of religion, because some people are theists. That's the first thing. I think the second thing is also to understand that the conceptual outlook towards children is different, not only for people who come from different races, but also from people who come from different backgrounds. So it does not automatically follow that all women are well equipped to carry children. And I think it's important for us to look at that pragmatically, not from our own beliefs and what we think we are here to do, but from a general overview of an actual fact that not everyone is rooted in the idea that if they are women, they are here to bear children and take care of them. That is the second thing. Now, the third and most important thing is understanding choice. When one speaks of choice, what is it that is actually conferred? I remember reading historical books on the 1994 negotiations in South Africa. And there was an argument that was advanced by white people who believed in the idea of racial superiority and apartheid. And they had an initial question for Sam Nujoma in 1989. They also had that question for Nelson Mandela in 1994. And the question was, what are black people going to do with the land if they get it? And that question, of course, they had factual allegations to back up the question, to say black people ordinarily, they are not farmers, they don't run economies. What are they able to run the country? Now, the point I'm trying to make is that that question was answered in the following way, where on the issue of rights and conferment of rights, it was argued even before the United Nations that it doesn't matter what a person is going to do with the right, because that's not the question. The question is that person entitled to the right? Were we as black people entitled to be politically liberated and running our affairs, regardless of whether we are going to run our affairs in a corrupt way or in a good way? The central issue is really, should the right be conferred? If not, why? And I think that should really also be at the back of our minds when we speak about conferring rights to women. It's of no relevance insofar as human rights is concerned, in my view, as to whether or not there will be repercussions, either psychologically or mentally, to a woman once she elects to abort. And in fact, that proposition is compounded by the fact that when you speak of abortion rights, when you speak of bodily autonomy rights, you don't speak of rights in the air. There must be systems and places that are put in place to ensure that there is a proper mental and psychological support structure to assist any woman who is suffering as a result of an abortion. But the central issue is that the right has to be conferred first. We are going on a short commercial break.
Nafimane Halwendo, Legal Practitioners, is a Namibian law firm based in Namibia, Windhoek. Our services are criminal litigations, divorce proceedings, labor matters, disciplinary hearings, drafting of commercial contracts and mining applications and facilitations, human rights violations, company registration, motor vehicle accidents, and debt collection. Find us at No. 1 Devert Street, Windhoek North, or call us today on 081-675-4905. That is 081-675-4905. Nafimane Halwendo Legal Practitioners, here to serve you.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, Witete umbo no namba no gushi wefaguja. Omanjirorongo oturataya academic year 2023. Ukapatruka enderera pa ife ulikore paparoe mo education. Ukarolongi fikora ile ugufe o health and social science. Osho maifano information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership. Na taimonika no tourism. Osho hospitality and event management. Business administration ikuterera. Environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. Wherede, Oto Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. Ilo tarere po embiro da IUM, tikulipo pepi. Mo venduka, mongu renguru, mongu diva, no mompae, Ota de Monica. Wherede to hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natunatu, oma veri hamano. Inda komesho kufetokoro li rimonjira, toiko mbona kui waini rao pamwena IUM.
Yes, I think we had a caller on the line. Law in action, caller, you're live.
Navimana.
Yes.
Navimana, how are you, sir?
Good, good. Who are we speaking to?
You're speaking to Taron here.
Yes, Mr. Taron, how are you?
Good, good, good. Yeah. On earlier on, you asked the question, what is the moral argument for the pro-life people who are against abortion?
Yes.
You see, I've read a little bit. I'm not saying I'm an expert from a philosophy point of view.
Yes.
But I've read a little bit to understand.
Yes.
That morality is categorized.
Yes.
There's morality that is called categorical.
Yes.
From a categorical point of view.
Yes.
What it means is that if life is precious, all life must be precious.
Okay.
Without any conditions.
Yes.
That means that the pro-life people must be protesting the part of the sterilization act that gives the right to the mother to kill the child from their perspective if the child has a deformity. The fetus.
Yes.
Let me say, to kill the fetus if it is deformed.
Yes.
Or the pregnancy resulted from rape.
Yes.
But from a biblical point of view, as they argue,
yes,
there is no negotiation as far as life is concerned. So I find it hard how they reconcile their morality if they are okay and they go to bed okay, knowing that in that same law,
yes,
a child still dies. From that perspective, I'm using their word.
Exactly, yes, exactly.
Do you understand? So their moral argument falls down,
yes,
from a categorical point of view.
In their view, it's permissible to derogate from that sanctity of life.
No. If you listen to them, it's as if they are saying that you are not permitted from a biblical point of view to deviate from the sanctity of life under any condition.
Yes, no, we are on the same page. That's exactly what I'm saying. But it would appear that they are okay to deviate from that sanctity of life when it comes to rape or when it comes to a child's deformity, for instance.
No, they appear hypocritical.
Yes, no, because, I'm in agreement.
Yeah, yep, they appear hypocritical because it's like if you are, all humans are equal, but...
Yes.
Those ones that are taller are more equal.
Yes.
It's the same moral argument. But,
yes.
But the Bible, if you read it the way it is,
yes,
all life is sacred.
Yes.
Do you understand? Regardless.
Yes.
But they go home, they do not protest. That part of the same law that bans abortion, that allows abortion under certain circumstances.
No, I hear you.
Yeah. So that is the first point I wanted to make.
Yes.
Number two, the Bible, which is their source of morality, I've not heard any other argument from pro-lifers that is not based on the Bible.
Yes.
But the problem with people who like to base their morality on the Bible.
Yes.
Or to get things like morality on areas like abortion, etc.
Yes.
Is that the same Bible does not permit divorce.
Yes.
But you don't hear the same people protesting,
yes,
that divorce is unbiblical.
Yes. And in fact, many other things that are not... Yeah, the Bible doesn't permit many things that biblical pro-lifers are okay with.
Yep. And lately we've been hearing about public consultations about the new divorce bill that the Minister of Justice is consulting the public on.
Yes.
I have not heard a single person, and I've listened to every single public contribution,
yes,
but I've not heard, as far as I know, a pastor or a member of the public in a 95% nation,
yes,
who has objected and protested against divorce,
yes,
as a law, because it's unbiblical.
Yes.
So you understand what I'm
saying? No.
The whole moral argument falls down.
I totally hear you.
You know, that is the thing. Maybe they should find another source why they object to abortion.
Yeah.
And areas like divorce, that the source that is not the Bible.
Yes.
Because the Bible, the from a biblical point of view, they are hypocritical.
Yes.
That's why when people claim to be Christian, for me, I don't take them seriously, because they will cherry pick which parts of the Bible to be radical about and which parts to compromise on.
Yes.
That is my argument.
Okay.
So that's my first part.
Okay. Thank you so much for your view, sir.
Can I continue?
Oh, okay. No, yes, please.
With your permission.
Yeah, no. I thought you said you had two parts. I thought that...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm contradicting myself.
Okay, no, it's fine. You have joined the biblical morality crew.
It seems so.
Yes.
What I'm saying about abortion, see, in civilization, why we have codified laws and we regulate matters and things, is that matters occur in naturally.
Yes.
Because we are social animals and nature acts. The wind blows regardless if you like it or not.
Yes.
Same as abortion. Abortion takes place whether there is a law against it or there is not.
Yes.
Your best chance to save life of the mother, to save life of the unborn, is to regulate.
Yes.
Why? Because, for reason number one, when you regulate, you make rules that govern.
Yes.
When abortion can take place and when abortion can no longer take place.
Yes.
When you govern, you also achieve safety for the mother.
Yes.
Safety for the fetus.
Yes.
Because, as an example, I would say, if we were to write rules that govern,
yes,
we will then have a chance to decide at which age of the fetus is abortion no longer allowed.
Yes.
For example, you would say first trimester as a whole, abortion, yes, is allowed.
Yes.
After the second trimester, for example, as an argument, we can say it's no longer allowed because the fetus has developed past a certain stage.
Yes.
Where we can all agree safely that no, here we can safely say that fetus has a chance to survive if with an induced labor outside of the mother's womb.
Yes.
You understand? We have a chance to debate such issues because we are avoiding issues of, when we are considering matters as maturely, we are actually serving the interests of the pro-lifers. Because,
yes,
today as we speak now, and I've been reading lately in the paper, where a mother who didn't want a baby, maybe she didn't get a chance to abort, or her attempts to abort illegally were not successful, she killed the child after the child was born by feeding it poison, methylated spirits or whatever it is.
Mm.
Such cases will be eliminated.
Yes.
That's number one. Number two, another example is full-term abortions, which they call baby dumping.
Yes.
Would also be avoided.
Mm.
So we're not just saying unwanted. We're not saying you are killing.
Yes.
We're actually preventing killing and dumping of full-term babies. You understand?
Yes.
So people don't see it from that perspective, because when you make rules, you are making rules, for lack of a better word, you are making rules to address situations. You are not just addressing morality. You are actually saving actual lives.
Yes, it's not a cosmetic morality.
Yeah. Do you understand? Not cosmetic morality.
Yes.
Some mothers have become impotent because of unsafe
abortions,
abortion environments and substances.
Yes.
So if you have a regulated and safe environment on which mothers, people can abort, you are saving lives, you are preserving fertility, you are preserving health.
Yes.
Another one, you are actually giving a chance to more babies being born, because you can change the mind of a mother if you offer them counseling before they take that decision.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes, not so that we hear you
say. People don't see it from that perspective. They're just drunk on the Bible. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't offend people beyond a lot of...
Thank you for your views, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, some pro-choice views there. I think it's important for me to reiterate this point, because I don't want us to have a general discussion without understanding the foundations of our argument. I understand that most of the pro-life arguments are coming from a Christian perspective or a Christian-driven morality. We had a discussion last week to say it's high time that Namibian laws and African laws are rooted in cultural logic and African logic. Now, we all know and we accept that these religions that we like quoting and this morality that is religion-based, like that we like quoting, is from Western religions. It's actually quite ironic that most people claim that some of these controversial issues such as pro-abortion rights are Western in nature. But at the same time, the opposition is based in Western religion and Western religious morality. It would be interesting if we could hear what is the African cultural standpoint against abortion, either for or against. What are the traditional values, the traditional African values that inform us on women's reproductive rights? Because at the current moment, the arguments, the foundation of why most people are against abortion is, in any event, only rooted in borrowed religion. What does our African religion say? What is the African moral standpoint on some of these issues? And I don't want us to simply regurgitate what we've read, what we've acquired from Western religion. But I think it's important from a legal philosophical standpoint, where we are now saying that it's high time we introduce customary laws, and customary philosophical standpoints should be the driving force behind our laws. So it would be interesting if I could hear from viewers what the traditional and cultural standpoint is on this issue. Caller, you're live?
Yes, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
How are you?
Very well. Who are we speaking to?
Call me George.
George.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. George. Can we hear your views?
Okay, so I'm working with I'm on the side of the side that is called the pro-life.
Okay.
So I'm against the, how can I say, the points that maybe you are defending today.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I would like to say is, like, I would like to do a little rebuttal to the last speaker who came up. He made a lot of accusations. I would like to say accusations,
mm-hmm,
that are not really founded in evidence, but rather in just a pool full of emotions.
Mr. George, we are going on the automatic commercial break in 10 seconds. Can you perhaps just call back?
I will hold.
Okay, if you can hold, it's fine.
Okay.
All right.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
Yes, we are back on air. Mr. George, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you.
Yes.
Yeah, so the arguments that were brought up by the last caller,
yes,
the gentleman who just left, are unfounded, and there's no truth in them. The first one, when he says he didn't even say most. You said most. For you, at least, I can say you said most. For him, he said all.
Yeah.
Pro-lifers based their arguments on the Bible.
Yes.
Which is completely untrue, because I'm an atheist and I'm a pro-lifer.
Okay.
So that whole argument of saying pro-lifers based their argument.
What is the foundational benchmark of your opposition?
foundational benchmark would say it's not. Is it moral?
Is it cultural?
Yeah,
it's moral.
It's moral.
Okay.
To say yeah, it is morality, but it's not based on the Bible.
Okay.
It's based on the fact that this is a human life.
Yes.
You are trying to take away. It's not your life. So he'll say like, well, how? The
so
question will
this,
be like,
okay. Is this tradition based morality, or what is the basis of the morality? Is it
the basis of this morality
based on cultural practice, or is it a personal belief?
No, based on the maxim that says, "Do unto others what you want to be done unto you." Not the biblical version.
Okay.
But it's just the philosophical version where I would ask, would you want to be killed?
Now,
you wouldn't want to be killed.
Yeah, let's assume, you know, for instance, that suicide is not illegal. And there are people who don't, in fact, want to be alive that commit suicide. Let's assume that person is a woman and they answer your question affirmatively and said, of course, I would want to be killed. I didn't even want to be here. Would you think then, in terms of that rationale, would it be permissible?
Please repeat that scenario. I didn't understand it.
You are saying do unto others as you'd want to do unto yourself. Now, I'm saying you know that there are people in our society who are suicidal and, in fact, they don't want to live. So if a woman then answers that question and says, yes, I'm doing unto this fetus as I would have wanted to be done to me. I never wanted to be here in the first place. Would it then be permissible along the lines of your reasoning?
Well, I would say it's not, because people who are suicidal are the exception of society. It's not the normal society. There's more people want to be alive than want to be dead. There are people who are suicidal, but they are not the norm of the society. Those are the exceptions. So when I say do unto others as you want to be done unto you.
So you would then say that segment of society should then be allowed to do abortion. Those exceptional people who would not want to be here, they should be allowed to abort.
Yes, but you must also understand that when I say the maxim that I gave, it's a summarizing. It's like to try and get my point, but that's not the whole basis of the morality.
Okay,
we can get into other arguments for the morality where it's not your life. You cannot decide whether someone must live or not. You do not have that mandate to decide whether someone must live or not. You have the right to decide about your life, but you have no right to decide whether someone else must live or not. That is not your right. So that's where I stand with that morality. That saying, that maxim is just used as, how can I say, as a way to convey maybe my message clearly. But that's not the whole basis of the morality.
Okay.
Morality has other foundations.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. George, for those.
But I'm not done. You asked me a question. I'm not done. Because I was giving my points, then you asked me a question, then we diverted.
Okay. No. Please proceed with the rest of your points.
Yes, I'll be quick. Mm. So I just wanted to answer to the last caller who was saying, no, our morality is based on, it's not based on the Bible. It's just based on logical reasoning, saying he's alive. He's able to call because he's alive. Would he want to be killed? He wouldn't want so. So why would he want to take somebody else's life? So that's not fair. The second argument that he brought up, which makes no sense at all, he says that, actually, abortion prevents killing, because if we were to allow people to have pregnancies which they do not want, we end up with situations where the mother apparently kills the baby afterwards.
Yes.
Then I would say to that there's no reason, there's no, how can I say, logical reasoning in that, because you cannot say you're preventing killing by killing. How can you prevent killing by killing? You are not preventing killing by killing. You're just committing the killing faster than when it would have been done. So we can create
On your argument, you are saying you would rather have the baby born alive and then killed by the mother as opposed to being killed.
No, I'm not saying that.
You have to choose one of two evils, because in any event,
that's a false dichotomy. It's not one or two evils. We can also, there can be other measures, like let's find out first what's the root cause. Because you can say, okay, maybe the mother, because that assertion to say that the reason why the mother killed the baby is because they didn't want the baby, that's false. Maybe the mother just had mental issues, because if she really didn't want the baby, because a lot of these people do illegal abortions. I'm pretty sure she could have found a way.
Sorry, Mr. George, I want us to have a very coherent discussion so that it can make sense also for the listeners.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You are saying that mothers don't kill babies because they don't want them. You are saying all the babies that have been killed, baby dumping, those people are mentally insane. That's what you, is that what your argument is?
I'm not saying that at all. Where are you getting it? No, your question is, the problem is I said, for example,
I want to understand you, because the previous caller made the pragmatic example to say,
look, it's not a pragmatic. Well, how is it pragmatic?
To say that choosing one of two evils, that in any event, it doesn't prevent the killings, because we know that baby killings are the result of mothers who don't want the children to begin with.
But then that's where I come in and say, do not know the reason that the mother who gave the spirit to the kid, you don't know that the reason why she killed the baby is because she didn't want the baby.
Mr. George, I think we need to have a sober discussion based on the statistics out there. The statistics are quite clear that unwanted baby dumping is the result of unwanted babies. Lack of contraceptive education, lack of sex education, lack of family planning, all these things led to unwanted babies being dumped, unwanted babies being killed by the mother. In essence, the baby.
I'm sorry. I did not ask your name. What's your name first? Because I want to also refer to you with your name.
Yeah, Nafimane Halwendo.
Okay, Nafimane, you said we must have sober discussions and things. Okay, I would also like the same from you. You said first there are statistics. Can you please cite those statistics? You did not give any statistics. You just said there are statistics, and then you went off on a tangent.
If we are being honest, Mr. George, we have been reading up on these things. We don't just come on air and say anything. The statistics are there. They are available in the Ministry of Health.
Yes.
Of course, it's not realistic to ask them now on radio. If you are not aware of them, it's fine. We can just move on.
That's fair. Okay, let's say those statistics. Okay, I'll give you that and say those statistics are there. Okay, what do your statistics say?
Now, the statistics are clear that unwanted babies are not a predominant result of mental illness. They are a result of lack of education, sex education, lack of education on contraceptives and family planning. And essentially, a baby is born and the mother does not want to have that baby from the onset. It's unfortunate that the mother did not have an election, a choice to terminate that pregnancy earlier, but it makes no difference whether it's at 1 or 2 weeks or if it's 2 days immediately after they are born. The mother does not want that baby, and that's why baby dumpings and baby killings have been happening.
Okay, so when it goes to baby dumpings, because we cannot, we don't know whether your statistics are true or not, because we're going to cite them now.
Mr. George, we only have 6 minutes on the show. I'm going to have to give you 30 seconds to wrap up.
Okay, 30 seconds. That's fine, Mr. Nafusa. Okay, so your statistics are not, you're not able to cite your statistics, I'm very well to say that those statistics are fake and you've just made them up. But and the other thing is...
The statistics are at the Ministry of Health and...
30 seconds, Mr. Nafuka.
Nafimane.
Let me just finish. Nafima, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. That was excellent. I'm very sorry. Okay, let me just finish up, please. You say 30 seconds. Okay, and the other one is, I'll just finish up by saying, you are killing a baby. Okay,
Mr. George, I'm sorry we have to cut you off. Yes, unfortunately, we are pressed for time. Our slot is only until 7:30. I think I will allow maybe one more caller. Perhaps just to remind our listeners that what we are doing here is really trying to have a productive conversation. And I don't think it's advisable for us to argue for the sake of arguing. We should really understand what the issues are, and we should have a real genuine belief in our position so that we are able to move society forward. The purpose of Law in Action is really for us to understand why certain laws must exist or why they must fall away. And as of course most members of society will know, the Ministry of Justice does consultations across the board. Currently, they are doing consultations on the divorce bill. There have been consultations on abortion as well. And it's really to get a genuine sense of knowledge from members of the community. what is the rationale behind a law? What is the rationale against that law? And so it's important for us to understand the issues in and around the practical effects of certain laws so that we are able to move society into a fully functioning place where people have rights, people have freedoms, and when those rights or where those rights and freedoms are limited, there must be a genuine law, properly rationalized, properly argued, and based on a foundation that is acceptable in a democratic and constitutional country. And when we discuss issues such as the right to abortion or the prohibition of abortion, we should then really have a proper and fully functioning understanding on what are human rights? What is the history of the people whose rights are affected, the history of women? Last week, we touched on the many prohibitions that have been placed against women in society, the prohibition against acquiring certain property, the prohibition against doing certain things in a marriage. And these prohibitions go on and on. Women were generally not allowed to take up certain positions in companies. And so the historical backgrounds of prohibition against a certain group should also inform us on why certain laws, such as the law against abortion, was prohibited. I think we have a last caller. We have 3 minutes left. I'll take one more caller. Law in Action, caller, you're live.
Sorry, Nafimane, good evening. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yes. Last time I talked about...
it's Uncle Buena.
Yes, Uncle Buena.
Uncle Buena, we have 2 minutes, so
I'll make it short.
Okay.
Are those really justifications for one to kill? For example, the historical discrimination of women, how they were excluded from certain privileges or rights and things like that.
Why should they not be justifications, Uncle Buena?
Yeah, and the other one, before I finish, the other one is also, like you said, yes, the statistics are there. It's true, they are there.
Yes.
On the baby dumping, fashion killing, on all those other evil, social ills.
Yes.
Crime. But are this now the justification? This can they be enough justification to convince us and say yes, because women were excluded,
yes,
they were denied their rights, therefore they should have a blueprint to killing and to abortion. The other thing, the last rule is because the customary law.
Yes,
I know very well that our customary law has not been documented sometimes, you know, information.
Yes.
And there could be those which are documented. I think you are in the right position to know.
Yeah, very few of them are documented.
Okay, so even that, the consciousness.
Yes.
Those that are written at the bottom of our heart.
Yes.
And we know already that food is actually wrong. Your conscience tells you that it's wrong to kill or it's wrong to do this. Even without
Buena, you have 8 seconds, and there's going to be an automatic commercial.
I think I'll wrap up. Next time, just try to touch on those things.
Okay.
That whether those things are just.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effen seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Yes, this is Law in Action with me, Nafimane Halwendo. Unfortunately, our time today is up. I will be seeing you again next week, Thursday. Same time, same place. Until then.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shell life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a first for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the Great White.
Hello Namibia. Indira pamanate muyuni walelape. Lelape onkaro ompu wa mafutiro no kuthisa ngoka hagu ningwa pamkaro gongodi hoka tovuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka gopaipindi no taga dhanwa no kutuwa mombepo ethimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuningashike ko lelape. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka kalela pei nenge utire moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya wedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe ginima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka gomahio, omatumaraka gomaharero ya mbeko gomavaro, na matumaraka gokwarukehe ngoka wahara utseithere oshiwana ashikesho monamibia, okuza warapo doranda tu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lelape oharongo ngini, konga oka epa ko lelape ko Play Store nenge ko App Store, eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akauntae oshari, eto turamo omaothemba goe. Inda kokanja toko eki mariwa, eto turako oshimariwa, to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo omaothemba goe, hogora kucha wahara okurungitha ehangano, nenge ovendaini, o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe, eto sindi mpoka pashangwa send utume. Shamba watumu etumaraka joe, otari turua ko Eagle FM, imba, lelape, nenge ko The Villager. Ouna ishwe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital@omalaiti.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tudengera nena kono rahetatu imwe, mbari nora, ndatu ngoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rahetatu imwe, ndatu mbari, hetatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lelape, imo nena, nena, tai adhika ko App Store no ko Google Play Store.
Hello Namibia, welcome to the world of Lelape. Lelape is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lelape? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lelape app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lelape app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lelape, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.